Today on The Ballot for Governor, you're looking at the biggest field of candidates the state's had in decades. Here are some of the big promises those candidates for governor have made this season.
I'm going to gut the Board of Education.
We need to increase the gas tax. We're driving more miles. We're more fuel efficient. Two good things, but bad put together.
As your governor, I would tell you that we would repeal Common Core and the standardized testing.
But all those plans will be really hard, if not impossible, to pull off as governor. Because it turns out, if you're governor of New Hampshire, you've been handed a pretty raw deal, at least compared to the other 49. Jeff Bolster teaches American history at UNH.
It's not one of the weakest governorships. It is the weakest governorship. No qualification is in order. I mean, we are one of only two states in the nation, New Hampshire, that has a two-year term of governor. The other is Vermont.
So that's the first reason the governorship of New Hampshire is weak, such a short term. Almost everybody else gets 4 years for starters. Let's lay out the other reasons now. Reason number two, and pay attention because this one is huge.
We are the only state in the nation that has this executive council, these five politicians who many voters don't really know about, who have extraordinary power on the governor.
The executive council. Five elected Democrats and Republicans who the governor needs approval from to pretty much do anything. Appoint officials, pardons, any contracts over $10,000. Think about that. A governor can't even appoint her own cabinet.
The governor walks around in the shadow of this executive council who basically has to approve what she does. No other governor in the country has anything like this.
And this executive council, the second reason for why the governorship in New Hampshire is so weak, it's totally a vestige of the 18th century. Who wrote the rules?
It was that generation who came of age at the time of the Revolution and basically gave the king the finger and said, we're going to take up arms to create a new government, which is a risky business because if you lose, they hang you, you know. And then they sat down with a blank sheet of paper.
And what they put on that blank sheet of paper, what they came up with, it's still pretty much the Constitution we use today. That paranoia about royal power, that idea that too much power concentrated in too few people corrodes liberty, it's in the state's DNA. Which brings us to reason number three, the New Hampshire governor might be the weakest in the country. A huge legislature. 424 people you have to court to get anything through. 424 egos to massage or tick off.
I had some things that didn't go my way, but...
This is Governor Craig Benson. He served from 2003 to 2005, making him the only New Hampshire governor in modern history to run for a second term and not get reelected. And he may be the perfect guy to explain reason number four, the last reason New Hampshire's governorship is weak. The governor cannot revise the budget. No line item vetoes. It's all or nothing.
You know, unfortunately, sometimes politics becomes a game of chicken, and whether you really mean it or not sort of is shown. And I hope people know this about me, that I try not to play games. I say, okay, if you do this, then this is what I got to do.
So Benson came from a business background, spent his career hiring and firing, managing budgets. But once he got to Concord, things didn't work that way.
How frustrating was it day to day? I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, it doesn't sound like you were surprised.
No. I knew the rules. But you have to find a creative way to work within the rules. That's all.
After a few months and a rocky start, the Republican-led legislature hands Republican Governor Benson the budget they've drafted. And even though they're in the same party and share a lot of values, there are just some things in there that Benson doesn't like. So since he can't go in and surgically remove those parts, remember, no line item veto, he does the thing that is within his power, the thing that really ticks off that big, unwieldy legislature. He vetoes the whole thing, baby with the bathwater.
It's a very big gesture to veto the budget, no doubt about it.
He holds a big public event where a huge crowd of lawmakers come to watch him do it. The budget is all laid out in front of him on a desk, and he smacks it with a big, fat veto stamp.
I don't know. They handed me a giant veto stamp. Okay, here, use this.
That wasn't your idea?
No.
And what Benson said that day was that this gesture was his way of living up to promises he'd made on the campaign trail. But would Benson have done it if he hadn't been so hamstrung in his job? if he hadn't had an executive council breathing down his neck, or that huge legislature, or a term that felt like it was ending just as it was beginning, we'll never know.
So I think there's an assumption that the governor's office in New Hampshire is weak, but I think that's incorrect.
This is former Governor John Lynch, who defeated Benson in 2004 and went on to serve longer than any other New Hampshire governor since the colonial days.
I served 8 years, 4 terms. We have 2-year terms in New Hampshire.
And he bristles a little at this argument that the governorship in New Hampshire is so weak.
I think the governor of New Hampshire has a lot of responsibility, accountability, and authority to get things done.
In Lynch's time in office, the state was bombarded with a series of natural disasters. Also, the recession hit. And this called on Governor Lynch to do what a governor can do best, deploy resources, manage the situation, and maybe most importantly, show up.
If a governor, or it could be a mayor in some cases, is not accessible, then the people have no idea what's going on. They don't even know that the governor is aware of their predicament. I think it gave people a sense of comfort that somebody was in charge and somebody knew what was going on.
And all of us, even the founding fathers, need some of that. For NHPR State of Democracy, I'm Natasha Haverty.